From the campus of Winston-Salem State University, welcome to WSSU Future Focus. Everything Winston-Salem State University. And now your host, WSSU Chancellor Elwood Robinson.
My guest today is Dr. Elva J. Jones. The computer science building on the campus of Winston-Salem State University is named in her honor, and she is the founding current chair of the computer science department at WSSU. She's credited with developing the first concentration in computer science and leading and developing the major programs in computer science and information technology. She was born in Lewisburg. She is one of four children. Her parents, who weren't able to attend college, owned a small farm and saved to send her to college to educate the rest of her children. Having an interest in math at an early age, she was an undecided major when she arrived at WSSU. Coincidentally, she served an on-campus job as a student data processor and was quickly elevated to program manager. At the time, WSSU didn't offer degrees in computer science, so she pursued a bachelor's degree in business. She went on to earn a master's degree from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro and NC State. Then she became the first African American to obtain a doctorate in engineering and computer studies from NC State. She says her most significant contributions to computer science and WSSU have been elevating and expanding computing as a discipline. Beginning her career at WSSU as a programmer, she gave up her lunch hour to teach programming to expose students to the discipline. Her sacrifice led to WSSU becoming one of the first HBCUs to offer a computer science program. She serves on the North Carolina Space Grant Consortium Executive Board, the Association of Department of Computer Science and Engineering at Minority Institutions Executive Board, and the Technical Council Executive Committee and the STEM Education Committee, just to name a few. She's the two-time recipient of the NASA Jove Research Award for her research in space science data retrieval. She was named Outstanding Woman Leader by the City of Winston-Salem in 2006, and one of the 50 most important African Americans in technology in 2010 by blackmoney.com. The Elva Jones Computer Science Building, located next to the W.B. Atkinson in WSSU Science District, opened in 2004. The $13 million, 62,000 square foot building, 8 classrooms, 7 education and research labs, and faculty offices. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Future Focus, Dr. Elva Jones. Dr. Jones, thank you for agreeing to come on the show tonight. I've been touting you all day long and all week to say that I was having on my show a living legend. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are glad to have you. Now, you're well. Now, how are you doing? You know, when people come on Future Focus, we ask them how they're doing, how's their health, how have you been handling this pandemic? How's your health?
My health is excellent. Just completed my series of vaccinations, and I would encourage anyone who has not made the decision to get the vaccination to do so. It's so important that everyone is protected.
Dr. Jones, we thank you for that because we have been promoting this. We're trying to get the word out. It is important to get vaccinated. I've been vaccinated now for a couple of weeks. I had my second shot a few weeks ago, My wife, Denise, has her second shot. We're all vaccinated up. And it is really important that everyone get vaccinated. Your family is doing well.
My family is doing well.
Your husband is doing well. You know, I know your husband. Is he doing well?
He's doing excellent.
Is he behaving himself?
Well, you know my husband, so.
Yeah.
He's behaving himself.
I understand that he's also taking up, riding something during the pandemic a little bit more than usual. And what is that?
Yes, he's on his motorcycle periodically, getting fresh air. But
that's fantastic.
Other than that, he's behaving himself.
All right. Long as he's behaving himself, you tell him I said hello. He's my good brother.
I will.
He's my good brother, and I love him dearly. So thank you so much for that. Dr. Jones, thank you for joining us. And really, really, we want tonight to have a conversation with you of the work that you're doing at Winston-Salem State, but the work that you're doing in computer science. But before we get to that, tell us a little bit about you. Kind of what was it like growing up, and how did you get to Winston-Salem State University?
I started my relationship with Winston-Salem State University when I was 5 years old. My oldest sister came to Winston-Salem State University. Her name was Nettie Dunn, and the whole family came with her to bring her to school. And we had the opportunity to walk the campus and to meet some of the administrators, and I fell in love with the institution. And I've been in this relationship with this institution for a long time, and I have enjoyed every minute of it. But my sister was the first to attend Winston-Salem State University. And as you know, my husband also attended Winston-Salem State, and our son attended Winston-Salem State.
So it's probably safe to say that your family is a Winston-Salem State family.
Yes. Until you talk to my brother and my other sister.
Oh, wait a minute now. Where did they go to school?
My brother graduated from Elizabeth City.
Okay, all right.
And my sister graduated from Shaw.
All right, fantastic. There's certainly HBCUs in the family. Growing up in Lewisburg, you say you've been connected to Winston-Salem State for since you were 5 years old. Did you begin your march towards going to college? I mean, how was that? I mean, in Lewisburg, growing up, you're talking about in the 60s. Tell us about that pursuit. You were interested in math when you were in high school, or grade school. Is that something that you were very good at when you were in grade school?
Yes, I was influenced by two dynamite teachers. One, when I was in middle school, Mr. Ollie Burrow, who taught me how to use a slide rule. And when I went to high school, I had another dynamic teacher, Mr. Thomas Conway, who taught me physics. And he continued that love for math. So growing up in Lewisburg, it's a small town.
Yep.
And we lived in the rural area right outside of downtown Lewisburg, quote unquote. So we had a very tight relationship. I grew up on a farm. And so I worked with my family, my parents, and my siblings every day. So I got to know them very well in good times and bad times. If there were issues, it wasn't one person's issue. It was the family's issue. And we lived in a small community where everyone was family and everyone helped everyone else. And I think that helped to develop my character.
No, absolutely. You know, I tell people all the time about growing up in small towns. I talk about the small town, you know, atmosphere, what it's like, a family environment. And we talk a lot about that at Winston-Salem State, Dr. Jones, is that, you know, we talk about the family environment. That came from your roots in terms of Lewisburg. I wanted to ask you about the slide rule, though. Who introduced you to the slide rule? What grade were you in?
I was in the 7th grade. And Mr. Burrow was not only my 7th and 8th grade teacher, he was my principal. And he loved science. And this is a man who would take students with him to North Carolina Central when he was working on coursework to renew his certificate. He would meet with us before school, during lunch hour, after school to teach us the slide rule because it wasn't a part of the curriculum. He just brought one to class one day, gave a demonstration and said, who's interested? And of course I was interested. And it was so exciting because he actually talked my older sister into buying me a higher grade slide rule. We had the little inexpensive wooden ones. And he talked her into buying me a metal slide rule for Christmas one year.
Oh, see, Dr. Jones, I didn't know they made metal slide rules. I can tell you, when I was introduced to the slide rule, it was magical. I think I was in the 7th or 8th grade as well, and we had a teacher that came in and started teaching us. But to be able to use a slide rule was absolutely amazing. And so when you mentioned that, I said, I got to go back and I got to ask her about the whole notion of a slide rule. But you come to Winston-Salem State, you had a long career. You come in as a student, and then you come back and you start working, started teaching students programming. Tell me about that. I read in your bio that you would do something on your lunch hour. So you would not even eat lunch, but you're going to take time to be able to teach students. Tell me about that experience.
Well, actually, that experience led me to complete my terminal degree. Because I love teaching. And I didn't realize that until I actually started teaching students during my lunch hour. And the students that I taught, we won't say when, but during those days, are still in touch with me. And they have done magnificent things with the one or two courses that we had at that time. And I would rotate the courses during the semesters so that I would teach a language called RPG at that time. And then one semester I would teach COBOL and the next semester I would teach BL1 so that the students could get exposure to a variety of languages. But it was fun because I really adapted to programming and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now you're at WSSU, you're teaching programming. Now you look at yourself and you look at your career, you start on this trajectory to becoming the Dr. Jones that we know today. So you start pursuing education, you get a master's degree, you get a doctorate degree, all the while you're still working and doing some things. Tell us about that experience and then tell us what it was like being at NC State and then being the first African-American to get a PhD there.
Well, I've had some very influential women in my life that have just stepped in at the perfect time to support me. And when I decided to go back to school, I had a department chair and a dean who really encouraged me. And at that time, we had a young child, which meant I had to go to Raleigh and during the week and come back to Winston-Salem on weekends. It was that kind of thing. But I knew that I wanted to teach, and I knew I wanted to teach at the college level. And to do that, I had to have the credentials. Hmm. And so my husband worked with me so that I could go back to school. I started at UNCG. All the time I was at UNCG, I worked full time at Winston-Salem State to complete that degree. And when I decided to go to NC State, it was like going home because, as you know, Lewisburg is only about 20 miles from Raleigh. And so I went there and I had my parents to help me because we had a young child at that time. And although he lived with me on State's campus, I stayed in married student housing. If I ever needed support, my parents were 20 miles away. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped to give me the confidence that I could do this. And at NC State, it really was not a great transition because I had some very supportive people my master's thesis at NC State was directed by a lady named Dr. Mary Jane Lee. And we stay in touch to this day. She's on the faculty at the University of California at Sacramento. And she was very supportive, not so much in terms of the academic work that had to be done, but the fact that there was another woman who could help me, guide me in my research in a department that was primarily made up of men, it was very beneficial and very helpful. And that's why, as we look at this, is Women's History Month.
Exactly.
I think women need to be cognizant of the fact that we need to support each other, especially in areas where women aren't predominant. Going into computing, it was a male-dominated field. Has been, it's much better now, but it continues to be highly male-dominated. And so while women can do the work in terms of the academic background, sometimes you need that emotional support that only a sister can provide. And so I've had some very influential people in my life, but who were women. And I am very grateful for that. But it was such a good journey. You know, I look at it now and I think, how in the world did I ride that highway 40 from Winston to Raleigh every week? Sometimes I'd leave home at 5 o'clock in the morning and arrive in Raleigh and say, how did I get here? Because I did it so much, it was just automatic. But the process was such an exciting one. The learning, the opportunities that were afforded me, it just made the process enjoyable.
Well, that's great. So one of the things I want to talk about is your experiences during that time. You talked about, you know, as a woman being there, having the support. What was it like during the 60s to be, you know, at NC State, being in Raleigh? What was the experience like for you?
It was actually a good experience for me. My department not only had no African-American students, there were very few American students. Most of the students were international. So there was not a big disparity between students at that time. There was a variety and a very diverse group of students. I had two additional PhD students who were friends of mine, and we were all married and we all had children and we supported each other. Being in computing, I had to spend time in the computer lab. And so usually I found the best time to be at night. Well, if I had to go over late at night, one of my friends would keep my son while I was in the lab, and vice versa if they needed to do something. So there was that support structure. And it's, support, is, I think, is very important. It takes on different complexions and it takes on different forms, but support makes it easier for someone to do something that's really difficult. But NC State was exciting. I had an advisor, my PhD advisor, was involved in industry. He included me in his research project at the Research Triangle Park. And I spent as much time doing the latter part of my work out there with him as I did in the classroom. So that was exciting to me. You know, we were immersed in using the tools we were developing in industry. Yeah. And so that hands-on experience was great.
Man, that's great. And Dr. Jones, and I can see that you took that experience and you now have incorporated that into how you work with students and how you prepare students. So that was an amazing experience. I'm curious as to when you went on this journey, And you said, I want to be a college professor. And I knew I had to prepare myself to become a college professor. What did you think? I mean, what was your vision about what you wanted to do and what you wanted to accomplish?
I wanted to first establish a major program at Winston-Salem State. And working with other people in the department, we were able to get that done. Once we did that and we became a separate department, then I immediately started thinking about different aspects of computing. And that's how we developed the major in IT, because we realized that all students would not want to code primarily, but they still love computers and they love computing. And so we wanted to give them options within the field. Computing is so broad now that you can almost be at any end of the spectrum and have a major role using computers, whether it's graphic work, whether it's robotics, which is one of my loves, or whether it's software development, software engineering. You know, there are so many avenues for students in computing. If students love to get into management, then there's always project management. So almost anything a student wants to do, they can do it in computing. And so I wanted our students who may not have been exposed in high school, they may have come from a small high school as I did and not been exposed to computing as an option for them in terms of developing their careers. So that was my goal. That was my vision for Winston-Salem State. This school who gave me such a great start, I wanted to give back and help other young people as they were coming along. And I continued to get students that I just love to work with, bright, energetic. Sometimes I have to talk to them.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes you have to talk to them in a certain way, right?
Yes, yes.
That down home Lewisburg kind of talk to, right?
Yes, yes, indeed. But I continue to get students that I enjoy working with. And so it keeps me motivated and it keeps me involved in this whole process of educating Rams to come up.
Fantastic. Dr. Jones, you've had a front row seat, 50 years. I mean, looking at, technology, computing. I mean, just give me some insight. Did you ever imagine that we would have a world like we have today?
You know, I think I did. Hmm. Even though I started, and I'm dating myself, when I taught my first classes, we used punch cards. And from there, we went to a terminal. When we moved into Carolina Hall, I, along with a young man from the Triangle Computing Center, actually wired Carolina Hall so that we could have internet access on Saturday. Pulling wires, we created a wiring closet, but it was fun. And so I've seen the evolution of computers from the very beginning almost to now. And it just marvels at what I can do on my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tell us about the computer science department today and what's going on, what's happening. Bring us up to, 2021.
Oh, it's exciting. Best department around, first of all. I am very serious about that. I could not find better people to work with, colleagues to work with. Everyone engages not only their students, but also in their research. I've been told by sponsored programs that we are one of the top departments in terms of extramural funding that we generate. Almost every faculty member has a grant and everyone is on a grant conducting research. And not only do they conduct research, they involve students in the conduct of that research. I'm convinced that students who engage in hands-on use of the skills they learn in the classroom excel. And so we've done that for years. We've been doing it before it was actually very popular on campus. And so let me just share with you some of the research areas that we're engaged in. We have robotics, we have mobile applications, and you know, mobile applications are getting more and more sophisticated every day. We have people who are engaged in data analytics. We have just established a new certificate for analytics. We have people who are engaged in software engineering research. We have people who engage in gamification so that you can actually use the computers to motivate and build confidence in students. We have faculty who engaged in cybersecurity and research. We are in the process now of writing a grant through the National Security Agency to get funding for a cybersecurity certification. So I think we cover a large gamut of research areas, and then that research feeds back into our instruction. And we try to bring as many students along with us in terms of research assistance as possible at both the undergraduate and graduate level.
Yeah. So one of the things that, and you mentioned about the whole idea of extramural research, and I talk to people, and sometimes people don't realize that Winston-Salem State University is what I call a research powerhouse, because people think about us as a little small teaching institution, and we are. But because of people like you and the folks in computer science and the grants that you pull in, really help elevate us. You know, I just found out that we have now almost an $80 million research portfolio, and a large part of it, many of those dollars come from computer science. I talked to one of your faculty members today, Dr. Deb, who is actually doing some research in data analytics. So. This is powerful in terms of the work that you do here. I oftentimes get folks saying they want to come to an HBCU and they want to come to one that's teaching computer science. What do you tell people out there who are interested in coming to Winston-Salem State University to major in computer science?
Oh, I tell them that the opportunities are there. All they have to do is take advantage of it. You couldn't get a better education than you can at Winston-Salem State University, because we conduct research with researchers from all over the country, not just small institutions, but large institutions as well. And so if they really want to get involved in computing, then I would say Winston-Salem State is the place to be, because we will not only give them the foundation in terms of the theories that they need, but we give them that added exposure to developing applications and using those tools to make life better, not only for them, but for people that they care about. And that's one of the things we found over the years that our students are really motivated by, the ability to help others. And I think when we look at computing, and we were talking about the pandemic at the beginning of this session, the fact that the disparity between the people of color who have actually been able to schedule a vaccination lies in their access to an ability to use computers, whether they are available to them, whether they are able to manipulate the websites, and sometimes they can be challenging. That's critical, that we get more people involved in computing in a formal way, not just users of the technology, but builders of the technology. Because if you're building something, you can build it from your perspective.
Absolutely. I mean, well said. And thank you once again for telling us about that. And that is certainly one of the major challenges, is having access to be able to create an appointment. And those kinds of things are important for everyone, but particularly for underserved populations and for folks who don't have the kind of resources that are needed for us to be in this technologically driven world. Dr. Jones, I'm curious in terms of, as you look back over your career, and certainly this is, you know, Women's History Month, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is your contribution to science. But when you look back over your career, what are the one or two things that you are most proudest of?
I would say the development of the major programs that we have, the BS in CS, the BS in IT, the master's degree program, and the two certificate programs, because I see those programs as the catalyst for developing young people, all young people who are in this area, in this region, who may not be able to go away, or people who are outside of the region. Many of our students come from other areas, and they want to go to a institution that will help develop them without having to get lost in the mass of people. They want a smaller community. And so I think those degree programs are the things that I'm most proud of. Those programs will serve this institution and this region well for many years to come. They are not going to stay stagnant. None of our programs do. They are going to evolve as the needs and the technology evolves. And I'm very pleased about that. I'm also proud of the fact that when I think about the Elva Jones Computer Science Building, I don't think about that building as a structure. I think about it being the result of young students who wanted to better themselves. And those students really helped put the program on the map. And when I think of the CEOs that came out of our program, and the CIOs, and the business owners, you know, these are the people that building represents to me. It's not about Elva Jones, it's about the students who helped build the reputation of the program so that we could have a building that they can come back and say, oh, I wish we had had this when we were in the little small labs that we had on campus. It's a great feeling. Many of our students continue even today to give back. And we are so appreciative of that. You know, we enter to learn and we depart to serve. That's not just words. That is a way of life if you are RAM, regardless of your
future. That's right. I love that, Dr. Jones, and I love the way you position that. It really is about the students, and you have been such a great mentor to so many students. I've had recently a couple of your stellar students on Future Focus Now. We had Dr. A.J. Hinton. We had him on the show as well. And we actually had Dr. Grady on the show, and you were a trailblazer and a pioneer. And Dr. Grady was also a trailblazer and pioneer at being the first woman to get a PhD, I think, in computer science from A&T State University. I won't ask you to talk about any particular students, but just talk in general about the students and you as a mentor and what that means to you and their success.
All my students, and whether they graduated 5 years ago or 20 years ago, all of my students to me have qualities and skills and characteristics that make them really stars. I've never tried to compare one student to another. Each student has a strength, and we try to look for that strength and build upon it to help them develop a really great work ethic. And so when I think of the students, I think of the students who are developers now. I think of the students who have started their own businesses now, and they are vendors of computing. I think of the students who lead the area. They are either CIOs or managers. One of my students came back to speak to my class last semester and has started her own business. And she is a certified project manager. These students, I remember all of them because I taught every student that has come through the program. It's very difficult for a student to come through the program and at least have one class with me. And I do that because I want to know them. It's so important that I know them. And I watch them grow and watch them mature while they're here at Winston-Salem State and after they leave and blaze the trails for their lives. So I have so many fond memories of students that have come through this place and so many fond memories of the students who are sitting in my classes right now. And I know they're going to go places.
Absolutely. And they become part of the family. They become part of your family going forward. Dr. Jones, how do we, in this fast-paced, ever-changing world, how do we stay current? And how do we continue to build a great computer science program? And I think part of your answer is going to be partnerships, which I want to get into in just a moment. How do we stay current? And how do we stay cutting edge? And you have managed to do that for over 50 years. Please share with us how you've been able to do that.
You're correct. It's partnerships. We started early on with partnerships. We've had partnerships with IBM and Altria and Duke Energy and Nationwide and just Google and Microsoft. We've had different partnerships that we were able to leverage for different needs. And the first and foremost need is internships for our students. Because when a student can take the skills that they learn in the classroom and apply them in an internship, that's the best icing on the cake that you can provide a student. But the key has been partnerships, because we cannot purchase every technology that comes out. We can't upgrade fast enough to stay at the end of the cutting edge. We have to depend on those companies and partners, even some of our local nonprofits. Our students actually volunteer and develop systems for local nonprofits. That is a valuable learning experience for them. And it also benefits the nonprofits. And so, I think the biggest thing that keeps us current is partnerships. And then next to that, research, so that people are all not only taking advantage of the new technologies, but they are developing them. Yeah. They are actually designing and developing.
Yeah, so one of the things that you did that I was so appreciative of, and I watched when I first, got to Winston-Salem State University, and you talked about a minute ago the internships and why it's important for students to have practical experience. I took that from you, and we've been trying to institutionalize that across the entire campus, and we've done great work with that. Now about 70% of all students that come through Winston-Salem State University in any area gets involved in a high impact practice in computer science, you guys have been doing that for a very long time.
Yes, we have, and we continue to do that. And we continue to evolve and find new ways of doing that. We had to be very creative during the pandemic because some of the internships, the face-to-face internships, went away or became virtual. And so we've been able to partner with agencies to provide that same type of internship experience with students not having to leave campus or leave their homes. And yet they could still get the feedback that they needed as they developed projects and software tools on their own. So I think internships are, I was just thinking, what would I rank higher? I don't think I would rank any other classroom experience higher than an internship, because it allows a student to pull in all of the skills that they have learned from freshman to sophomore to junior and then the senior year. And we encourage them to intern more than once and to intern with different companies so that in a safe space, they can get to see what goes on, what's the culture, what is the corporate culture in different companies. It's an invaluable experience, and oftentimes students have to be talked into it if they are not accustomed to going away from home, if they are not accustomed to going to a big city. But you can talk them into it.
Yeah.
Another area that we've really leveraged is research experience for undergraduates, where we've placed students at research institutions in the summer to engage in research. And especially if a student tells me that they are looking to go to graduate school, then I really try to pair them with a research experience in the summer. They develop some of the same skills as when they intern, because they are getting into a new environment, they get to address new requirements, and they have to develop a product in a finite amount of time. And so those two experiences really complement each other.
You know, I agree. And we consider those high impact practices at Winston-Salem State. You're absolutely right. I want to get into a couple things before our time runs out. Tell us about the partnership that you have with Nationwide, and tell our audience and our listeners a little bit about the contribution that they just made to the computer science department.
Nationwide has been working with us for, I guess, about 5 or 6 years now. But this year, I think we really moved it a giant step forward. They have been working indirectly with us without actually providing funding. And last year, they established the first scholarship program with us for ACMW. One of my goals was to increase the number of female students in computing. And they said, well, we'll help you with that. We'll provide scholarship for your students who are female and majoring in computing. And that has evolved into a wonderful gift of $100,000 that will support not only scholarships, but also professional development for our students. We've just come off of a hackathon that we had last weekend. They not only provided the funding for the prizes, they also assisted us in conducting the hackathon. Our alums from Nationwide served as judges. Some of the managers presented workshops for us. So it's really a beautiful partnership. I think it's a model partnership. And we are getting ready now for our scholarship day. We call it CSIT Day, which has been in existence for 30 years. And some of the students who led us in developing a day set aside for their professional development are still involved. They still come back and volunteer. And the first thing they'll ask me is, when is CSIT Day? So that they can come back and share the jobs that they are with, the companies that they are with, the tools that they are using, and the kinds of applications they develop. So that partnership with Nationwide has been a culmination of many different partnerships, but it is, I think, more comprehensive in that they cover the professional development piece, they cover the scholarship piece, they are in the process of revamping a lab so that students are exposed to the tools that they will see in a corporate setting when they graduate. They also provide the emotional piece. I'm a believer in mentoring, and I have served on a NSF grant that's called IMCS, and it is the Institute for African American Mentoring of Computer Science Students, and it's a collaboration with 8 different institutions. That program focuses on mentoring students through the undergraduate pipeline all the way to the graduate pipeline. Nationwide is also engaging in a mentoring program with our students. And so students are paired with a professional from Nationwide so that they have a one-on-one relationship with someone at Nationwide that they can just ask very simple questions of, in terms of what are the suggestions that professional would make for them in terms of where they should take their career, how they should plan their career, what kinds of decisions they have to make as they are moving through not only the educational process, but through the career. So that when they start their career, they don't make some of the common mistakes that someone would make if they didn't have anyone to talk with. Yeah. And so it's really an exciting partnership.
No, I agree with you. I think it's one of the more exciting partnerships that we have. I've been touting the whole idea of signature partners, and we certainly consider Nationwide a signature partner. Higher education is changing drastically, and we can't do the kinds of things that we want to do without having these kinds of partnerships. Nationwide has been leading the way. They are indeed a model of how these partnerships should operate. You talked about the whole notion of a hackathon last weekend. Got to share with our audience, many of which might not know, what is a hackathon? It sounds like something illegal.
No, it's not. It's a fun weekend that students come together over the weekend and develop an application that can be used. And they usually sleep very little. They learn new tools. Nationwide provided workshops for them to learn new tools. We provided some training to learn new tools. And then they get together in teams that we formulate. So they are working with students they may not even have had classes with before. And they have to develop a solution to a problem and then present it to the group at the end of the weekend. So Saturday night, when other students are out partying, these students are presenting their software tool that they have developed. And it's called a hackathon because it's done very quickly, and it's done in an intense environment where they only have a weekend or a day to do it. And we've participated. And in fact, Chancellor, when you came to Winston-Salem State, you came over to the and we were having our first hackathon. And you spoke to the students and motivated them and congratulated them on giving up their Saturday to develop software tools. And we've continued that tradition. We've got to get back.
I do. I have to get back. Thanks for reminding me of that when you were talking about it. I remember that, and I think I still have a picture.
I do as well.
Yeah, so it was that was great. And that was the first hackathon.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. One other area I want to get into before our time runs out. And I know you began your career at NC State. You were talking about not having many women. I know there's a big push today, more women in science. Tell me what you're doing in that space to try to encourage more women to come into science and technology, computer science careers.
Yeah, we talk with students wherever the opportunity presents itself. And we try to engage students at the university via professional conferences. Almost all of the conferences that I associate with now have a segment in the program that addresses computing for women. To help mentor those women and to help attract those young women. We have in the local school system partnerships. We go out and we speak to the students and to the counselors to let them know about computing especially for the women, because young men tend to gravitate toward computing naturally. Whereas women, although they are very skilled at design and development, they may be less likely to move toward computing. And sometimes they have to be encouraged to do so. But once they get in, they hold their own and they often become the leaders of the pack. With the young men, but it takes a special effort. And at this point, I am on a committee with the National Science Foundation that is actually developing guidelines so that people who write grants have to include some type of mentoring that will help attract not only underrepresented groups, but also women. And so it's bringing it to the consciousness of researchers and employers and faculty that women are an important part of this environment and that we need that diversity and we need the skills that women bring to that whole process, especially design, because women, I think, have a special insight into design and can see sometimes beyond where a man can see. And I'm a little biased.
No, I can tell that you are. We're almost out of time, but I know when I look at the top careers, when they publish these going forward into the future, a lot of them are around science and computer science. We now at Winston-Salem State University going into a new strategic planning process. I know that you guys at the department level are thinking about, you know, what's next for computer science. As you look at all of this, Dr. Jones, what are the conversations that are being had in your department and other departments about the future of these departments?
We have to think about not where we are now, but where we envision the country and the needs of the world being 5, 10, 20 years from now. And we can't wait for that period to be upon us before we start planning for it. And so as we think about our next move, our strategic plan for developing programs and resources in our department, we have to look down the road. We cannot look at where we've come from too much other than to learn a lesson from where we've come. We have to stay involved with the industry to know what's being developed by the vendors, by the companies that use the technology. And we also have to be involved in the process problems. To look down the road as to what kind of problems will we have that need to be addressed. Who would have known 2 years ago that we would have a worldwide pandemic that would require that we not only give the care, the human care, but that we would have to develop the tools to show how the disease is progressing. All of that is data analytics. There was not that much interest in that 2 or 3 years ago, but some companies have completely moved, and that is their primary business now. We have to be involved with those companies so that we are aware of where the industry is going, and we can plan our program and our curriculum to meet that need and to stay abreast of where the industry is going.
You know, well said, well said. You know, thank you so much. You talked about data, big data. That's certainly the wave of the future. You, Dr. Jones, have been a great guest tonight. We thank you for joining us during this Women's History Month. You're indeed, as I said, a living legend. That's how I look at you. Now, one last thing before we get out of here. You got to tell me, what is it like going to work every day in a building that's named after you? Do you think about that, or you just walk into the building?
I don't think about that. I walk into the building. I go into the building every day with an agenda. Things I have to do.
Well, fantastic. Thank you. You were a great guest. Thank you for joining us tonight. You be safe.
And I will.
And you tell that husband of yours to stay off of that motorcycle.
I don't think that will happen, but I will tell him. Thank you for having me. And thank you for letting us share the story of the wonderful students and faculty in the Department of Computer Science.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for Future Focus. And we'll be back next week for another edition of Future Focus Now.